Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast, the only podcast where we look at the statistics, data, and science behind Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and submission grappling. Really excited that you could be listening to this podcast if you're new, and if you're returning, I'm almost more excited because nothing better than someone that listens to something and says, hey, that's pretty good, and comes back and maybe listens to a couple more episodes. Speaking of which, I am starting to get some reviews of the High Percentage Podcast on some of the platforms, and I really appreciate that. If you've taken the time to leave us a review, that means a lot. I'm pretty sure it helps with like search algorithms and things like that, and I wanted to share a couple. One I came across on iTunes from Richard Vetchlick. Bringing science to a martial art, this podcast can change the way you practice jiu-jitsu. Everyone has an opinion, but Lewis has observations based on research. I haven't encountered any other resource like the High Percentage Podcast, and I'm sharing it with anyone who wants to improve how they learn jiu-jitsu. Thanks. I really appreciate that. One thing that I like about feedback like this is it really makes us feel like we're doing the right thing, because one of the explicit purposes of High Percentage as a website and as a podcast is that we kind of want to help the everyday competitor or even just sort of casual trainer that is trying to get a little better, which is why we don't do as much data on really, really high-level grappling, black belt-level grappling, world-class grapplers. And it's not that we're against that, and we have done some data on high-level world-class grapplers, but we also, you know, we really want to give useful information to, you know, the new blue belt that is thinking about doing their first tournament, and, you know, they're a little worried that maybe the stuff that they've been working on isn't going to translate well to a competition environment. Like, that's the person that I think about a lot. But there's hopefully room for everyone, and as time goes on, we're absolutely going to start including more and more types of people. And I think we'll be starting with some of the ADCC coverage that we're going to do this month. Today's episode is not going to be a particularly long one, but I wanted to address something that has come up lately with some of the research that we're doing, and it's come up before with High Percentage, which is I wanted to talk about why it's so difficult to get really good data on guards and sweeps. And I've maybe alluded to this in previous episodes, but I figured this is a good time to kind of dive into it, because we are doing a team study right now, and the first team that we started with is Team 10th Planet. And we are watching matches. A lot of them are pretty high-level matches because 10th Planet, you know, kind of sort of skews that way as far as, like, matches that you can easily find on the internet. You know, a lot of them are, like, those EBI qualifiers that Eddie Bravo hosts in Los Angeles. Or, you know, I just watched the BJJ Fanatics Brown Belt Invitational last week. There were a lot of 10th Planet brown belts on that, so as I am watching the 10th Planet team and looking at their guard game, something that's come up with me and the other researchers is that their guards are just so dynamic that it becomes very difficult to get a good handle on them. And it caused us to kind of like pause and come back to the drawing board and say, okay, like, are we really gathering guard data the best way? Because it's very difficult at this level. And it brought up an interesting conversation amongst us about why that is. In other research that we've done at High Percentage, we've looked at white and blue belt guard positions and white and blue belt sweeps. Now, guards was actually fairly straightforward, and the reason is because white and blue belts, two reasons. One, they primarily use close guard and maybe some like basic open guard variation. So it's very easy to kind of visually pick it out and say, ah, that white belt is using close guard, and I'm going to mark that on my sheet as something that they use. And we have a 3-second criteria, which is, you know, we count the guard after someone has been in that guard position for 3 seconds. And that's worked really well when looking at low level games. But when you look at high level games, what we found is that they do not really approach guard as a stagnant position, particularly with no-gi grapplers, which is they're constantly changing their guard game. They're alternating between de la hiva, reverse de la hiva, seated guard. And actually, probably the most common kind of guard is like a no guard at all. And what I mean by that is that time and time again, what we've seen with the 10th Planet team is that they are using guard positions that are sort of ill-defined. They're kind of a butterfly guard, but they're sort of a knee shield guard. And then before you even really have time to look at it, they've already kind of moved on to the next one. They did an inverted guard, but then they changed very quickly and they went back to their reverse De La Hiva guard. When you look at sweeps, it's much the same story. In fact, sweeps is almost harder than guards to catalog. When we looked at white and blue belts, whereas guards, it was fairly easy to point them out. With sweeps, it's very difficult with white and blue belts because a lot of times it's just chaos and they're not really technical sweeps at all. It's like someone just sort of loses their balance because, you know, they're moving too spastically or they're aggressively trying to get a submission and they just kind of fall over. And, you know, there's been some times where we've messaged each other and been like, hey, you know, this was kind of a sweep, but it was literally the guy fell over. You know, what do we count that as? We don't know. But when you go to the other end of the spectrum, which is the high-level black belts, what we find is that sweeps are often kind of the same way. And it's not that they're not technical, because obviously they're incredibly technical, but they're so technical that they're using concepts to sweep each other rather than set techniques, which is, you know, it's less common to see a black belt, you know, specifically use a scissor sweep or even like a more advanced sweep, like a sweep from Single Leg X. I mean, often they're chaining different sweeps together to the point where, I mean, the people that watch these matches, like, we're all pretty up on BJJ knowledge. And, you know, a lot of times three of us get together and we can't really agree on what kind of, you know, what to call that sweep other than, you know, it was a sweep that it just took advantage of the natural body mechanics and concepts in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This reminds me of something that we talked about in the chess episode of the High Percentage podcast, which is we talked about the tempo of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is often so fast that it's essentially impossible to make sort of tactical decision-making on the fly because things are simply happening too fast. But there is sort of an interesting angle to that, which I think you really start thinking about when you talk about guard and sweep specifically. That angle is that there are fast positions in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and there are slow positions. And a classic fast position is when you're trying to pass someone's guard on your feet, for example, and you're using your speed and agility and you're trying to, you know, move knees out of the way, control ankles, and just get that inside foot pass so that you can get to your knee on belly or get to your side control. And that's a classic sort of tempo position, which is you need to move fast. They need to move very fast to react to what you're doing. And moment-to-moment decision-making is not incredibly helpful there. It's more about concepts and about, you know, reacting and just being physical and being quick. Now, we can compare that to being on the top of the mount, where you are in a very secure position. You know, maybe you have your hooks in and you're starting to think about what sort of submissions that you can attack someone with. And when we're in those situations, typically the game slows dramatically and it almost does feel a little bit more like chess because we're able to very clearly think about the techniques that we want to pursue. Our opponent is thinking about the techniques that they want to use to counter. And it's almost a different kind of game as far as the speed that it takes place at. From a data recording standpoint, we would much rather record what happens in mount or in the back than one of the other fast-paced positions, because then it's sort of slow, stagnant, and we don't see a lot of crazy stuff from the mount position. I mean, it's pretty standard. You know, people are trying to get elbow separation. They're trying to set up their arm bars, use those collar chokes to bait out arms, things like that. So what's one of the big takeaways that we can use in our Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training from these observations? Well, one of them is that we talk a lot about concepts versus techniques, and that's sort of a big buzzword in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that teachers love to advertise that they don't teach techniques, they teach concepts. When I watch all these matches, and we've watched many, many matches, what we've kind of settled on is that it's not either or. There are some positions that favor a technique approach, and there are other positions that favor a concept approach. When you're on the top of someone in mount, it's kind of all about techniques. And you have an arsenal of tools to attack someone with, and you dip into your toolbox and you say, okay, like I'm going to try the Ezekiel choke. And then as you try that, you encounter a block or difficulty, and then you pull out the next tool and say, okay, I'm going to transition to something else. And it's a certain way of thinking, right? But when you get in one of these faster paced positions like the guard, particularly if you don't have a gi where you can, you know, use grips to kind of slow people down, well, then the game moves too fast for you to think in terms of techniques, and you really have to think more in concepts. And that's what we found with some of these high-level 10th Planet players, you know, brown, black, and some purple belts, which is that they don't even really seem to think about static guard positions and I'm going to play close guard, I'm going to play this. They are changing their guards all the time in a way that it's difficult to record. But when the game slows down, they go to a more kind of traditional approach. Okay, thanks for listening to me lay all that out for this podcast episode. Hey, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, which is the weekend of September 28th, is going to be ADCC, or the Abu Dhabi Combat Club Championship. And if you don't know what that is, ADCC is like one of the major tournaments in the world of submission grappling. It's the largest or most prestigious tournament that's not IBJJF, and some people would even say it's more prestigious than IBJJF. Because there's a really kind of long, arduous qualifying process for most people. It only happens once every other year, and ADCC welcomes grapplers from multiple disciplines, not just Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. They have kind of a different, interesting rule set, which favors wrestling. And if you're interested in coverage or finding out sort of up-to-the-minute results, grapplinginsider.com is going to be doing live play-by-play, and I'm going to be splitting that duty with one of the other editors. So if you don't know the format, I think there's four mats usually, and there's matches happening simultaneously. So we'll probably have two live coverage articles. One will be like mats one and two, and the other ones will be mats three and four, and we'll be kind of splitting. Maybe I'll talk more about this next week, but this year's ADCC is just fantastic. I mean, it's really one of the best lineups of grapplers we've seen, you know, almost in a generation. I know every year it's sort of the best of the best ADCC, but I think this year is going to be really special, and maybe we'll do like a little preview article or something on High Percentage, but maybe do our own unique spin on it. So grapplinginsider.com will have some good coverage, and we'll even have some interviews leading up to it with some of the competitors and the coaches. So we're really excited about that, and I'm really excited for ADCC in a couple weeks. If you want to watch it live, it'll be streamed on Flow Grappling if you have a subscription. Other than that, I will see you next week. Hopefully we'll get some new content up between now and then. Have a great week of training.